presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Ryan Bingham. In our conversation, Ryan takes us through his musical history after his mother bought him a guitar at the age of 16, and a friend of his father's taught him the song Malagueña, and from there he began improvising songs in the back of a truck when competing as a bull rider. Ryan takes us through playing bars in Texas and New Mexico and his rise in popularity playing rodeo events. Ryan discusses moving to Paris to perform at Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, riding horses for 2 years, and moving back and putting a band together and focusing on music and playing anywhere they could. Ryan describes how a chance meeting with Mark Ford from the Black Crowes led to a recording deal and started his career. And Ryan tells us about his current band, the Texas Gentlemen, and his current album, They Call Us the Lucky Ones. Ryan talks about his touring schedule, playing rodeo events, and touring during the spring and fall when his kids are in school. Ryan takes us through his guitars, mostly on loan from a friend, including vintage acoustics and electrics from Gibson and Martin, and his Waterloo acoustics that he plays through a Fender Princeton. Ryan discusses sharing the stage with a lot of his heroes and his friendship with Keith Gaddis and his brother Mark. Finally, Ryan tells us about how he got his music placed in TV shows and movies and how that led to his acting career. To find out more about Ryan, you can go to his website, ryanbingham.com. That's ryanbingham.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine and all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, and if you want to support the show, I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/haveguitarwilltravelpodcast. Here's my buddy Ryan.
Nice to meet you, Ryan.
You too, man. Nice to meet you.
Dude, were you playing guitar in high school?
No, not really. You know, I mean, I guess towards the end of high school, I picked up a guitar and started learning. But no, I kind of got a later start on it.
When did you start?
By 17.
Did you start actually like writing songs from the out of the gate, or did you?
No, not at all. My mother bought me a guitar when I was about 16. I just never really played it, and I ended up living with my dad in Laredo on the border, and a buddy of his taught me how to play the song called La Malagueña on the guitar. Yeah. And that was the first song I ever learned, and that was the only song I knew for a couple of years. I moved back up to Stephenville, Texas, kind of up around the Fort Worth area. There was a bunch of bands coming in there and playing, a lot of the Texas guys, you know, and I just wanted to start learning some new stuff, so I went and bought myself a book on guitar chords and started teaching myself one or two chords at a time, and I just started making up songs from there, mostly because I couldn't really listen to the radio and figure out how to play the songs that I was listening to, you know, so I started writing just to make up little stories and have songs.
And who were you listening to on the radio?
Man, I mean, I don't know. It's not so much on the radio, you know, stuff they were playing, but my uncle, my dad, they used to have this old bar in the 60s between Hobbs and Carlsbad in New Mexico, and my uncle saved all the old vinyl records out of there, and I really grew up listening to a lot of that. And it was all the Willie and Waylon and the Boys and Allman Brothers and Skinner and Bob Dylan and David Bowie and Zeppelin and the Stones, all that stuff.
Wow.
A lot of the Texas guys too, Joe Ely and Guy Clark and Towns Van Zandt, Jerry Jeff Walker. That was all really early stuff that I'd kind of grown up on out there. And then when I got up to Stephenville and was going to college there, a lot of these Texas bands like Jason Boland and the Cross Canadian Ragweed guys and Robert Earl Keen and, you know, those guys were coming in there and playing on the weekends. So that was a lot of the influence at the time. Yeah. You know?
When you were playing guitar, were you also doing rodeo at the same time?
I was, yeah. That's why I went to Stephenville to ride bulls for Tarleton area. Yeah. And that's really how I got into writing songs. Is we traveled every weekend, you know, going to rodeos, and I started bringing my guitar along with me, and I'd sit in the back seat, and I would just make up songs about our adventures on the, you know, going down the road and stuff. So that's where it really started.
Yeah. What kind of guitar was it?
It was a little classical guitar. I don't even remember what it was. You know, a little nylon string guitar.
Okay. And that's the one your mom bought you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what guitar did you buy when you were a little later on that you mentioned?
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember what kind it was. What was that little guitar? It was a little local shop there in Stephenville. I remember I went and bought a little guitar. It wasn't very expensive. Probably like a little Japanese-style Takamine or something like that, you know?
How rough is it going from, you know, riding bulls to playing guitar?
That was pretty easy, to be honest with you.
But I know, I mean, like physically, like, you know, you're riding bulls like early in the day, and then you get in the, you know, car and you're driving away and you're playing songs. How rough is it on your hands riding bulls?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't know about rough on my hands, but it took me a long time to, you know, learn the fundamentals on guitar. It was very rudimentary. You know, I had no training and not really anybody that was playing guitar around or any other friends that were, you know, trained musicians. So it was definitely the cowboy chords, and it was one or two at a time, you know?
Yeah. Did you find your voice like right away? I mean, you have a very distinctive, wonderful voice. Was it there right from the beginning?
No, I felt like it took me a while to find that too. You know, I just started playing in the bars, and you know, back then you could still smoke in the bars too, sure. And they were real loud and rowdy. And a lot of times I was trying to sing over a crappy PA and over the crowd, so
or half a monitor.
Yeah, half a monitor. And you're learning how to project your voice and sing at the same time. Don't always go hand in hand.
No,
you know? So.
Not at all.
I feel like most of the time I was just screaming or yelling.
Yeah. What was like the most requested song when you started playing clubs? What was the most requested song when you're out there? Did people know your material or?
No, not at all. Yeah. You know, most people went to get drunk and fight. They didn't listen to music. So I was like a jukebox in the corner. And sometimes I remember when I first started, I only knew like three or four songs. And the guy that was letting me play was a little little bar called the Waterhole. And it was a tiny little bar on a 9-hole golf course.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it just had one little pool table and a little bar. And, you know, he's like, I would just play the same songs over and over, and nobody really knew, you know. It was years before people started singing them.
Was the clientele pretty old, or was it young?
It was mixed. You know, I had some friends in school, so there were some college kids that were coming out to see me and party, and then a lot of older cowboy guys in those old bars, you know, but pretty mixed.
And it was just you and a guitar?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Yeah.
Was it the guitar that you'd bought earlier?
Yeah, it was, you know. It was, and I remember it didn't have a pickup in it, and I ended up, I can't even remember what brand they were, but you could kind of stick them in the sound hole, and they had a little cable coming out of them, and you just plug straight into a you know, a little PA.
Sure,
I don't remember
sure.
what the yeah. 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 Dean Markley or
yes,
Dean
exactly. Dean's it was like a wood covered pickup.
Almost. Yeah, a little wood covered pickup. Yeah, you kind of slide it in the sound hole. Yeah.
When you were going on these trips with riding bulls, were you also going to clubs at the same time and asking to play in some of those places?
Not so much, but I got a job working for a rodeo company out of Del Rio, and I was working on the ranch and then also helping feed bulls and I'd ride bulls in the rodeo. And then my boss that I was working for was a guy named Mac Altizer. He learned I played the guitar a little bit, and they always, the name of the, it was called Bad Company Rodeo, and they would always have a big party, you know, at the end for the contestants, and they had the Bad Company rodeo band. It was just kind of a crew of anybody who wanted to play, and he learned that I could play the guitar a little bit, so he started, you know, telling me to get up there and play a few songs. And most often we'd end up spilling over into a bar after that, and they would be like, "Ding and bring your guitar with you, you know, or get in here and play a song." And so after a bit of that, the bars, you know, started letting me come back in and play.
All right.
You know, after that, you know.
And was it just you, or had you gotten a band by this point?
No, it was still just me at that point. Yeah.
Wow.
Still just me.
Right on. And at what point did you put a band together?
Well, I ended up leaving. I went to Paris, France. I got a job working in the Buffalo Bills Wild West show in Disney World.
Oh, really?
Paris. I went over there for a couple of years and did that. And then when I came back to Texas, I have a friend of mine in Fort Worth, and that's just where I ended up flying back into. He picked me up, and I stayed at his house for a few days. And his brother was a drummer.
Okay.
And came home, and we met, and I was looking for bars to play at, and he's like, "Man, I'll go play with you." So we're there for a while. My first band was like the Dead Horses. It was just me and him. Matt Smith was his name. We called him Pawpaw. And so we're just a two-piece band. We'd run around, we'd play some of the rodeos and the local bars around Fort Worth. And from there, we met a guy named Corby Shaw that could play guitar and a little mandolin, and he started playing with us some. And then we just kind of piece stuff together from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the Buffalo Bill thing. Were you is that like, were you working with the Bulls or were you working playing guitar?
I was riding horses. It was like a recreation of the real Buffalo Bills Wild West show. So yeah, it was cowboys and Indians, and they had live buffalo and shootouts and the whole thing. You know,
that's fantastic. Was it fun?
Oh, it was a blast, man. Okay. They had all these guys from all over the country and from the states, like cowboys from Texas and Montana and Colorado and Canada and everywhere. Wow. And then they had Native American guys from all over the place too that they flew in to recreate this show. And
wow,
you know, we're all in our mid 20s and in Paris and just running amok, you know.
That's great. When you were over in Paris, I mean, you'd never been to Europe before, right?
No, I hadn't. That was my first time.
It must have been a culture shock for, I mean,
oh, it was
outside
huge.
Of your little bubble. Yeah.
You know, I'd been to Mexico quite a few times, but you know, only on ranches and kind of rodeo stuff. So, yeah, I had to grow up real quick, and it was I was humbled very quickly too.
And so when you got back and you started the band, what kind of clubs were you playing?
Anywhere they let us play, man. Any bars, coffee shops, people's backyards.
Yeah, yeah.
We would just go wherever we could get to, wherever we had enough gas money to get to, and wherever anybody would let us play next. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And were you still playing the acoustic with the pickup, or had you moved on to electric?
No, I was still playing acoustic, but I think I'd gotten a better guitar, like maybe a Taylor or something like that by then, and had an actual pickup, you know, in it, and started playing with an amp a little bit, you know, just to have the volume on the stage. Didn't have any monitors most of the time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That was a
Do you remember what kind of amp?
Yeah, I think it was like a Fender DeVille, like 410, way more than I needed, that's for sure.
Right on. You're playing everywhere you can. Are you traveling outside of Texas and New Mexico?
We started going like to Louisiana and going into Oklahoma a bit, and then finally we jumped off and we got it. There was a music festival they'd have every year up in Colorado in Steamboat Springs, and they would get a bunch of Texas type bands up there.
Yeah.
And so we ended up going up there one year, and after that we flipped a coin, decided to go to California and made our way out there for a little bit. That was kind of the beginning. I met a guy named Mark Ford out there that played with the Black Crows. He just happened to be in this little bar we were playing and wanted to produce a record for us. And that was kind of the start of the big adventure, you know?
Yeah. Had you been in the studio before that?
Yeah, but not really like that, you know, somebody like Mark. And Mark was the first guy to put an electric guitar in my hands, you know? And, played and our friend Corby played guitar with it, but I never really played in a band, you know, with bass and all the whole thing, you know. So it was a real learning experience. Mark really taught me how to play with a band, taught all of us, you know, really how to come together. And he bought me this guitar. It was called an Old Craftsman, and he got it off of eBay for like $100, and he was like, had all this sticky shit all over the neck, and took us like an hour to clean it all up, you know. And he put acoustic strings on it and he tuned it to an open E, and he gave me a brass slide, and he goes go play around with this a little bit. He goes, I think this will fit your personality, you know. And he got me a little boutique amp from a buddy of his. It was called a Schreier, I believe, and all they just had a tone knob and a volume on it, you know, and had a little 10 inch speaker. And he's like, just crank this thing as loud as it'll go, and just you don't have to touch it, you know. Just turn it all the way up, everything's up, and just go, you know. So,
are you still tuning to an open chord? Or are you?
I do, yeah. Open E a lot and open D.
Okay.
Sometimes open G a little bit. I love the open tuning, especially on acoustic. Yeah.
Right on. And so the band that you have now, and nobody from the original band is in it, right?
No, I've kind of played with a few different folks over the years, and these guys I'm playing with now, they're a band out of Fort Worth called the Texas Gentlemen, and they're kind of their own band on their own, and they started back at me a couple of years ago, you know, playing one-off shows, and then we just started having so much fun together. I was like, man, let's go make a record, and let's go hit the road, you know?
Right on. And how did you make the transition? I mean, when you put out the record from Mark Ford, was it successful out of the gate, or did it take a while?
Man, it was pretty cool. I felt like It was, in a way. I got signed to Lost Highway Records with that first album, and with Mark doing that. And we did a couple of records with them. And, you know, it was the first time we really had some tour support from a label for gas money and all that stuff. And we, it wasn't like we were playing arenas or anything like that. But, you know, we were, got us a van and a trailer and started playing the clubs and the theaters. And we got a our first kind of real tour was with the Drive-By Truckers.
Okay.
You know, they took us on the road and just took us everywhere, you know, coast to coast. And that was a really great learning experience being with them, you know, just out of the gate. And then from there, we were fortunate to go do a bunch of shows with Willie Nelson. He picked us up, let us go tour with him. So it was a lot of, it was several, you know, 4 or 5 years of really on the road in the van and, you know, in the trenches of the clubs and the theater. But it was great. It was exactly what we needed to be doing at that age.
And what was the reception from the audience? Pretty good?
It was mixed, you know. I mean, a lot of people didn't know our stuff. Yeah. It was new, and, you know, but we, I feel like out of 100 people, we'd walk away with at least 10 every night. And the next time we'd go back, we'd have, they'd bring 10 of their friends, and we just get building it like that, you know.
And were you still playing rodeo stuff?
Yeah, we would still play kind of anywhere, you know, anywhere that that would let us. Yeah.
And what about now? Do you still do you play rodeos for the most part?
I do. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different now. It's kind of like the San Antonio Stock Show and stuff, some stuff like that. The NFR rodeo they have in Las Vegas every year. We've gone up there the past couple of years. So, but not as much as I used to.
Sure, sure. And how much touring do you do?
Not as much anymore, man. I've been trying to keep, I've got little kids now, so I try to do a tour in the spring, you know, while they're in school, and then we'll play some festivals in the summer and then tour in the fall, you know, because kind of spring and fall, you know, a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 months out of the year.
Sure. Is it mostly weekends?
No, usually like the spring and fall, it's like a 4 or 4 to 6 week stretch, you know, so it'd be all during the week too.
And bus tour?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Do your kids like the bus?
Oh, they do, yeah. They love it. Yeah. They camp it.
And what's your guitar collection look like right now?
Man, I don't have many personally, but I've got a really good friend of mine from Houston that collects guitars, and he usually comes over and he'll drop off 5 or 6 at a time, and man, I've got some gems in here. I got this. I think this is from like the 40s. It's like a...
Yeah.
The World Fair Gibson.
The Century of Progress?
Yeah, I got a... this is one I've been playing a lot. It's that Martin with the pickups.
Oh, yeah.
And then got some really cool... I got a double neck electric. I got an SG. There's some pretty cool stuff he drops. I'll play them for a while, and then he'll come over with some new stuff, and we'll trade them out and, you know, stuff like that. So,
and when
this is one of my favorites right here. This is... I got this old K at a like an antique store.
Yeah, you know, it looks brand new.
Yeah, it's kind of chipping away all right around here, but it's a beast.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I love these kind of older,
Pickups, you know. How much of your show do you play electric guitar?
Man, if we're on tour and we can bring our stuff, you know, with a guitar boat, I like to play quite a bit, you know. But when we're doing one-offs, I have. I got these little Waterloo guitars there, or ones from Collings.
Yeah.
I put a D-Armin pickup in it.
Yeah.
And we wired it like a bass. So I've got a bridge pickup and a D-Armin, and I've got just 2 volume controls. So I got like an electric and an acoustic and
guitar.
It makes it great for traveling and one-off gigs. And I can have an amp on stage, but also a clean signal through a DI, and I can blend them, and you can kind of get best at, or I can, for the way I play, it works really well for me, you know.
Yeah. And what about amp?
Man, I've just been playing through like a Princeton, you know, Fender Princeton, just something that's reliable and the same, and I can backline easy. It's all try to keep stuff consistent, you know. I feel like I learned that from Willie years ago. You know, we'd show up with all this fucking shit and pedals and stuff, and half the time it didn't work and was broken. Willie just walk up there with one guitar, and he's like, the more shit you bring, the more shit there is to fix.
That's
a fact. We didn't have anybody at the time to fix stuff, you know. Now we gotta got a couple of really good techs on the road that can build stuff and fix stuff on the spot. So we got a few more toys, but not too much.
Yeah. How often do you have to backline? How many, like what percentage of your shows?
Man, we do it as often as we can, usually. I mean, especially for one-offs and festivals, if we're just flying in, you know. But when we're on the bus tour, we'll haul all our amps and guitars and all of our stuff that we want, yeah.
Besides the guys you mentioned early on and Willie, have you had an opportunity to play with your heroes?
Every one of them. Man, I was talking with somebody the other day. I can't believe how many of the people that I've looked up to that I've gotten to play with, from played with Dylan, I played with Neil Young,
wow.
Played with Van Morrison, with Taj Mahal, with
wow.
Greg Allman, with
wow.
Ben Montanch, Mike sure. Campbell,
yeah.
Willie Nelson, fucking Joe Ely, all my Texas heroes, Guy Clark, Lyle Lovett. I mean, I just Mavis Staples, Emmylou Harris, the list goes on. You know, some of it was there's a guy named Keith Wortman that puts these tribute shows together every year, and over like the past 5 years, like he did one for Mavis Staples, you know, and yep. then all these musicians showed up, like Greg Allman, and so it's like in one night I got to jam with all these folks, you know, and Bruce Springsteen, like
wow.
it just pretty crazy stuff, you know. So I feel so blessed.
Yeah. Of course. Were you ever a fan of Keith Gaddis?
A huge fan. Actually, his brother and I worked together at Bad Company Rodeo.
Okay.
If believe it or not. And when I first met Mark, we were recording a little bit, and then I came back to Texas, and I went in the studio with Keith, and I recorded some of my first songs ever with Keith.
Oh, yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, he was a legend, man. I
oh,
missed
God.
That guy, man.
Yeah, of course. That's such a tragedy that he's
oh,
not
man.
With us anymore.
Such a tough thing, man.
Yeah. I hear in your music, especially the song that just came out, I hear a taste of Keith in that song.
Yeah. Man, I wish I would have gotten to go down the road further with him and record a couple more albums, because I mean, some of that stuff he's done with Dwight and Charlie Wilson, some of my favorite records ever too, you know.
Big City Blues, you just can't.
Yeah, he had such an ear for music, and he, I always loved when we played a couple of shows together, and I loved how even when he was playing solo, he always played electric.
Yeah.
And just crush it, you know? And
yeah.
He was so fucking good.
Yeah, he's a badass. How did you end up getting your music placed early on before you started acting?
You know, when I got signed to Lost Highway, we went to Europe, back to Europe the first time, and played a show in London, and that was... actually the first time anybody really sang the songs back to us.
Oh, right on.
London, and it was wild too, because it was an older crowd and it was all like listening, you know. We had been playing these rowdy bars, and you know, we played punk rock bars, you know, all that stuff, and then we're in this like listening room in London, and it's like 300 people in there all with their arms folded, just standing there.
Yeah.
Like hear a fucking pin drop, you know. And I remember looking to the band and going like, fuck, we need to practice, because they're actually listening to us.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy in the crowd, there was someone in the crowd from like Warner Chapel music group, and it was a administrative type of publishing thing, you know, signed me to administer some songs, and they started trying to, you know, play some stuff in TV and film. So
right on.
Yeah.
Is that what led to your acting career, getting songs placed, or was it completely separate?
No, that was 100%. I'd always get approached about writing songs for the projects, you know, and then one way or the other, they'd end up getting me to act in it.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's badass.
Maybe it's from my time at the Wild West show. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been wonderful talking to you, sir. I really appreciate it, you spending this time with me, and I hope I get an opportunity to shake your hand in person at some point.
Yeah, man, where are you located?
I'm in Napa, California. Sounds like I'm in a construction zone, but I'm in Napa, California.
Yeah, right on. Well, that's a beautiful country up there, man. You have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar, Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys.